Okay, we have Maggie Decker back on the program. For those of you, just a little inside baseball. We actually just spent the past 25 minutes having a conversation thinking that we were recording it, and we were not because I'm not that much. So, here we are. We are actually recording it now. I have verified the fact. It's right there in the corner. It says recording. That's a good sign. So, Maggie, welcome back to the program. How's it going?
It is going well. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Obviously, this quarantine thing is getting to me. I don't even know how to do my podcast anymore. So, yeah.
All right. Hey, like.
Well, we've got Maggie back on the program because she has, it sounds like, a couple of new books out. You want to tell me a little bit about those?
I have a series called the Hidden Pack series, and we've talked originally about the first two books, Just Desserts and Worth the Wait. And since the last time we talked, I've put out Creature's Comfort, book three of the series, and it falls in line right after. I mean, there's no gap in time. They're mm-hmm. walking through the forest at the end of one book. They're walking through the forest at the beginning of the next.
Okay.
But it was just a really long book. I had to cut it in half. Okay. So I did that. And I really enjoyed that because that book was when I realized that I was branching off. Like, I don't know if I was, like, trying to channel G.R.R. Martin or what I was. I don't know. I have way too many characters, and I started branching off. And my story became this huge thing in my head, this huge world-building thing.
As long as it doesn't end up like episode 8, I think everybody will be fine.
Everybody's good.
Yeah.
I will do my best. Not like Lost or something. So I did that. And I really enjoyed that book. And then people had been asking me since I put out the very first book about the backstory of Miriam. What made her the way she is? Why is she the baker? And I don't want to give away too much of that if you haven't read the books yet, because it really will spoil some stuff.
Now, is she one of the main characters then, or what?
She is the alpha you meet in the very first book.
Oh,
she
okay.
is the alpha of the Hidden Pack.
Okay,
it's
gotcha.
Pack. Little backstory, the pack is basically all the people that have been kicked out, banished, ran away, and they're hiding from other packs, anything, you know, any bad situation, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Mom doesn't like you, you told your dad you were gay, you were abused by someone, whatever the reason, Hidden Pack will take you.
Okay.
And so she started that. That's hers. And I make vague mention of kind of a vengeance thing she does
mm-hmm.
in the first book. And then people started asking me, tell me more, why is she doing this? And it was really exciting because everything I've ever written has been just what I want to tell a story. You know, like, this is in my head, I'm going to tell you a story. But this one was the first one where I had to sit there and actually think before I wrote, because people had asked me questions. When did her mom die? When did this happen? When did that happen? You know, and I had to say, this is what made her the way she is. And it was a lot of fun. Opened some more doorways into people around her. Some more made me realize that I also need to maybe delve a little deeper. It was nice though. I enjoyed it, and it's really different. It's actually a much shorter book. It's only about, I think, 20K. But it is her origin story. And there's actually, because of that, I'm actually writing another origin story now for a different character in the book, because people have asked me about that also. That one's not going to come out for a while though, but it's plotted out and we're working on it.
Okay. So, you have three books out in the Hidden Pack series right now, correct?
Four.
Okay.
Well, three.
Are you including the origin story in that one?
I have it listed as a different thing. So I have the three that are the Hidden Pack, and then I have a Hidden Pack origin story, which I think is going to end up with four or five books itself.
Okay.
So it might be like a spinoff, maybe.
So do you have a lot of spinoffs planned for this whole universe that you're creating here?
I do, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
You know what, I tell you, it's because I just keep going in my head. I think I'm an epic fantasy writer,
uh-huh.
and I, you know, I'm not there yet, but so I have all these things going on, and I am Hidden Pack is spread out all over the nation. There's not really a home base.
Okay.
Because they're all in hiding. They do a lot of stuff on Zoom conference calls or Messenger or whatever.
Right.
the times have allowed them to do that. But I have another pack that's and a series that's going to be based out of Vegas or Henderson, actually, Nevada. Mm-hmm. And then another spinoff that's taking us to the Fae Realm, which hasn't been mentioned before. And it's actually, that's going to be a big part of the overlying story between those two places of what made everything that's been happening. And it's going to answer a lot of questions.
Sure. Okay, so let me ask you this then. Since you said you're an epic fantasy writer, at least
my brain is trying to be, and that wasn't my goal when I started.
That's fair. But do you have, do you keep like notes and things to let you know? Like, I mean, somebody somewhere is going to look at your book and go, okay, that doesn't work, you know? I mean, because there's going to be nerds out there and go, okay, you said this on page 36, and then you said this on page, and that doesn't, the time, you know, doesn't work. So do you keep notes of that kind of stuff?
I have a binder that I am mocked for by my writing group. I have a very thick binder, and it has a character Bible.
Okay.
And then I have like, so I have each story I'm working on ends up with its own tab and all the crap in it. Okay. And then there's an overlaying arc tab that's, don't forget to mention this stuff. And this is going over the course of 7 or 8 books, right? So you got to throw this crap in there. And then I have a research tab that's like I research for book one, and just desserts, there's a lot of stuff about the blowholes on the coast of Oregon. Okay. And so I needed to make sure I wasn't like saying something that didn't work. I researched the size of a wolf and how fast wolves can run on average, because I had a character running across country trying to escape. And I'm like, how many days is that going to take her?
Okay.
So I have a whole section on that. Yeah, no, I'm an uber nerd and I love post-it notes and I have a problem.
Okay. And so timelines though, you keep all that straight in your mind too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have years. My character sheets have genealogy charts with them and stuff like that. And then I have
how many generations back?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, the next origin story is actually going to be from, like, 60 years ago.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot going on.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so, what is the next? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, my binder's big, and it's ridiculous, and maybe next time I'll show you guys.
All right. That's fair. So, are these typed notes, handwritten notes? What are they?
Some are typed. When I find the time and I don't have, the muse isn't being nice to me, I type out my notes.
Okay.
But mostly they're handwritten. And then I have a lot of post-its are my friend, because then I can move them around. It's actually one of the things I do when I'm writing a book, is I'll be like, this is what I want to have happen in chapter one. And then I'll be on chapter 18 or something. And I'll realize in chapter two, this thing needed to happen. So I move my post-its around, and I look like a crazy person plotting to like kill someone, or conspiracy theories, tinfoil hat. Like, there's a lot of post-it notes.
Yeah. Do you ever use any of those plotting programs, like computer programs?
I've tried, and I find like it's not as organic for me. I feel really limited by it, because I lose something in that translation of putting it in a program. Some things I like for that. I like having the timelines are good to have on that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the plotting, I just feel like, because I keep post-its all over my house, and I'll just have an idea in a room of the house and I'll write it on a post-it note and write that minute. And then I'll just carry it in and put it where it belongs in the binder.
Sure.
I am planning on typing them up, because someone asked me, they're like, at the end, we need like the behind the scenes guide.
Uh-huh.
And so I might eventually make that into something when the series is over.
I see.
Or half through, or I don't know, when I get bored, I don't know.
You don't know what's going to happen first, huh?
I don't know how that's going to work. Right. But yeah, no, I do. And then I have another one for all my collaborations. I have another one for NaNoWriMo. I have another one for East Idaho Writers. There's a lot of binders in my life, and all my friends think it's ridiculous. They laugh at me.
Well, I mean, if it works for you.
I can't even remember why I walked into the kitchen if I didn't have a binder saying all this stuff. I wouldn't remember my characters' names.
So how long do fans have to wait for book four? The actual book four?
Probably you're looking at, my fingers crossed, my goal is to have it to people no later than October.
October.
And then I'm have a Christmas special planned.
A Christmas special.
Christmas special. It'll be better than the Star Wars one, but maybe not as good as like the Christmas Story movie. So somewhere in between there. That's my goal, is just to be better than the Star Wars Christmas special.
Well, you know, yeah, that's so is it going to air on television like right after Charlie Brown Christmas, or what's going to happen there?
Here's hoping.
Hey, there you go.
Can you even imagine having your book turned into a show? What?
That would be crazy. It would be crazy. And then some of these people that just have their first book published and people are like fighting over the movie rights for it. It's just,
I know. I'm like, what? How does that even happen?
Yeah.
I can't imagine it.
It's crazy.
So why? Stories.
I'm sorry. Why do people have to wait so long to get book four? Are you doing something in between there?
I am. I'm doing a collaboration with some very, very, very talented authors. Actually way outside my genre. I'm writing a Western, and it's called Tin Star Witches, and it's actually also LGBTQ, and it's in the 1800s in New Mexico.
Okay.
And there's witches. There's all sorts of witches around and doing stuff and having fun, and I'm loving it. It'll be out, I think, September or October. Mine will be called The Ghost and the Hung Man.
The Ghost and the Hung Man.
Yes, take that how you will.
We're talking. Okay, never mind. This is a G-rated show, Maggie.
It is. It'll make sense.
It was a noose on a tree. That's what it was.
Actually, that's hoping. I'm hoping that'll be on my cover. like literally, I'm not even being facetious. But it's actually book. Ooh, I don't remember if it's going to be book five or six in the series about this though. The first four are actually already out. Wonderful names in the genre. Elizabeth Silver, B.A. Tortuga, Sam Burns, Kiernan Kelly have written book one through four. And they're out right now on Amazon, 10 Star Witches. And I highly recommend it. They're hilarious. They run the gambit. You know, you're almost in tears at points. You're laughing. The whole thing, and I'm just really humbled to be included in this group of authors. Like, I just can't believe that I'm writing in the same series as them. It's insane. It's insane to me, and I'm loving it. So I'm hoping to have that done actually this month. I'm using it as my Camp NaNoWriMo project. I always do. I love NaNoWriMo. So I'm hoping to have it done by the end of July. If I can have this done this month, then maybe I can get the next hidden pack out in August or September.
Okay, great.
But it all depends on how fast I can get this Western done. And then I'm hoping to get book four and five out for hidden pack this year also. Then I have another collaboration next year, and then books 6 through 10 should be out next year in hidden pack, or their spinoffs, because it'll be taking turns between, and you'll have your crossover characters like everyone loves.
Do you ever eat or sleep?
Sleep?
No. You're gonna have book number 4 and 5, did you say, come out before the end of the year?
That's my goal. I can get story done.
Four more. Okay.
Well, my goal, one day when I'm able to take more than 2 minutes to myself in the day, thinking like, the next year, my kids will finally be able to maybe make their own sandwiches, right?
Good luck with that.
I know. I can hear my mother's laughter from here. But I'm hoping to doing this full time. If you sit down and it's your full time job, you can get a lot done in a day.
Sure.
Especially if you have it all plotted out already, which I do. Because when I only have a couple of minutes in the day and I don't have enough time to sit down and write my 5,000 words or whatever I want to try to get done, I can sit there and write. In chapter 2, we need to make sure Mark does blah, blah, blah. And I stick it on a thing. So now I already have that idea and I'm not going to lose it because I put my post-it note in my binder. and so when I get around to it, it's a lot easier to write those books. My goal is to have a book out every 3 months for the rest of my life.
For the rest of your life? Are you serious?
My life. Yeah. No, I'm dead serious. I just want it.
That's like some Ray Bradbury stuff or something going on there. I mean,
well, my books aren't epic, you know, like 300,000 word books. Sure, they're 40 to 50,000 word novels. They're very small novels, and I'm okay with that. I don't charge $20 for them like those other books. You know, you're looking at $3 or $4 for mine, and that's okay with me because, yeah. And I don't even mind people, a lot of people looking for money in this industry, which is fine. Everybody deserves to make a living, but they don't want to use the Kindle Unlimited feature and stuff like that. I think everybody should have a chance to read no matter where you are in the world. And like for me, being able to pay my however much a month for Kindle Unlimited, and then I can read a book every day.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to me. And I want to be someone that provides and contributes towards that, because I think reading is a wonderful escape, especially right now with everything going on.
Right.
I mean, 2020's just kicked everybody's butt. So, yeah. I always believe, you know, I think Kindle Unlimited's an amazing little thing. And that's why I'm able to do those short little books. And I don't care that, you know, barely get any money. Kindle Unlimited is not for people who want to make millions of dollars as a writer.
Right.
It's not. And that's okay with me.
Paid like just pennies, basically. Or
and every month it's different based on how many pages were. I mean, they send out a lovely email every month to let you know how they did the math.
Right.
And it's like trying to read the thing at the beginning. Do you agree to our terms? And you know what? Just send me my $2. It's fine.
I'm giving you my soul. It's fine. Just do what you need.
Please don't make me do math with you. I'm a writer, not a mathematician. I don't want to do that. But
yeah, no.
So it doesn't bother me at all. And that's my goal, is just to keep contributing towards this. Because I don't know if you've had this happen before, but you accidentally find a book. And you read it, and there's that moment where you go, oh my gosh, this is the first book in the series, and there's 12 more books.
Yeah.
And you're like, and it just, it's like Christmas when you're a kid. You're like, yes, I want that to happen. That's my goal. That's my first goal ever was to have a book put out. Uh-huh. Finish the book, get it published. Did it. We're good. After that, my goal is to have at least one person say, I was so happy to find your series. I read straight through for a week to finish your 10 books or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine that kind of joy? Like one day soon. I mean, I'm hoping in the next 2 years or so to have enough books that'll happen to someone. Like, I don't know that, cause that's my favorite thing. That's how I've discovered a lot of authors that way.
It'll happen.
Oh, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
There's no reason to cross the fingers. It will happen.
Thank you. But either way, I enjoy writing the books, and it's just what I do. And I really do love them.
Well, and, you know, I think that's when somebody enjoys what they do and they love their characters as much as you love your characters, that shines through in the writing, and people can see that when they read the books.
Thank you.
I think that's going to be that's a positive. And you know what? Somebody's going to buy the rights to your book someday.
I will sell them those rights.
At premium dollar.
Are you listening, Amazon Prime?
There you go. That's right.
Keep it for you.
That's awesome. Well, Maggie, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. I wish you nothing but the best on these last couple of books that you put out. And for that book that's coming out in October in that Western, the Western Witch. Yes. Witch Western. I don't know how you say
the
that.
The 10 Star Witches.
Tin, like T-I-N?
Yeah, like the 10 Star.
Oh, gotcha. Era. There you go. Okay, gotcha. That makes more sense. All right. That sounds amazing. And we look forward to having you back on the show again when you publish your next book, and then the book after that, and the book after that, and the 20 books after that. How does that sound?
I will be here.
Right on. Thanks, Maggie, so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good day, guys.